Okay, thank you very much for coming. Today's daf is daf Kuf Mem Tes. We're still in the middle of all about the issues of Shchiv Merah. Shchiv Merah is an interesting halacha. We saw there were different possibilities. What's the source for it? But the most widely accepted is the last. It's a Din D'Rabbanan. The rabbis created an enactment. They said that if a man is in his deathbed, very, very sick, they don't want to play with his emotions. So if it's clear to us that he's giving away his assets because he's convinced that he's dying, so there are special halachos to that gift. Number one, that gift, at least according to the opinions we've seen so far, may not need a maisa kinyan, may not need an act of acquisition. He doesn't have to lift up a handkerchief. He doesn't need, if it's land, he doesn't need to sign a shtar. Just says it, and the words itself create the acquisition.
And that's it.
Secondly, this acquisition is only going to take effect once he dies, which is unique. Normally, once you're dead, you can't do anything. At that point, a person's dead. He can't affect anything. Number three, if he recovers, then the whole acquisition is null and void. Because we know, even though he didn't say it, we know that he's only giving it because he's sure that he's dying. But if he thinks that he's recovering, but once he recovers, it turns out he didn't die. So for that, he didn't give away his things. He doesn't want to be left with nothing. These are all special laws of the Shchiv Merah acquisition. And we learned yesterday that it's actually viewed as an inheritance. And that's why it only applies to those things that inheritance could apply to. If you have something intangible, fruits that will come in the future, davash lebol olam, so that would not be inherited. And it also couldn't be transferred through a Shchiv Merah. But things that could be inherited, oral debt, he owes me money, even though there was no contract. So the child will now have that debt owed to him. Shchiv Merah can get that too, because a Shchiv Merah is a form of inheritance. So we are here at, 7 or 8 lines from the bottom, on Kuf Mem Ches Amud Beis. Yeah, Baruch, a question.
No, but let's say before he dies, he goes into coma for a year.
Yeah, so you asked that question before, so I looked it up. So it said that he has to be shafui. He has to be lucid of knowledge to be able to make these decisions.
No, I understand. He makes that, and then, but he doesn't die. So everything stays still till he's officially dead.
That's right, yeah. Uh-huh. Absolutely.
They won't do it while he's in a coma or something. No. Okay.
Excellent. Ibayil, who had a question in the yeshiva now to try to understand this law of Shchiv Merah. Question number one. Bunch of different doubts. Hiktish kol nechasa v'amad. What happens if he's deathly ill and he does something to all of his assets, but it wasn't that he gifted all of his assets. He consecrated all of his assets. And now he recovers. So me'amrinan, do we say, listen, when we had the law of the Mishnah that he gives away all of his assets and then he recovers, so the gift isn't a gift anymore, he gets his assets back. Maybe that's with a gift. But maybe we say, kolagabe hekdesh, when you're giving away something to the divine trust, when someone is consecrating something, gamar makni, so you don't play around with the divine trust, you fully, wholeheartedly give to it. So therefore, even when a person recovers, he can't retract it. Dilma, maybe no. Kol agabe nafshe, since it's impacting himself, lo gamaru makni. He's not going to give all of it away. And since he's not going to give all of it away, once he recovers, he doesn't want to be in a status of not having anything. So now that he recovered, that showed that the deal didn't work, and he gets his assets back. That's question number one. Question number two. Hifkir kol nechasav mahu. What happens if he's in bed, he's deathly ill, and he makes all of his assets ownerless? So mi aminan, do we say, kivan daflaniyim kashirim, since he's giving it not only to a certain being, he's giving it to all the people in the world, all the poor, all the rich. Then Gamaru Makni, then certainly he was wholehearted in a full-fledged commitment. And if it's wholehearted, even though he recovers, the deal's not reversed. Or maybe we say again, Kolagabe Nafshe, a person's not going to want to leave himself penniless. And since it impacts himself, Lo Gamaru Makni, he's not giving it all away. Now that he recovered, nothing was done. He gets it all back. What happens if he's not giving away all of his assets? Then we know that when he recovers, he gets it all back. It's not hekdesh, which we're not sure about. It's not hefker, which we're not sure about. He gives it all away to the poor. Miyamin, do we say that when he's giving it all to tzedakah, tzedakah vade migma gamer makni, with tzedakah, certainly a person is wholehearted in what he's doing, and therefore even when he recovers, he doesn't get it back? Well, Dilmar, maybe again we say the same thing we've suggested the other two times. Kolagabe nafshe, since if he's going to get it all back, I'm sorry, if he gave it all away, that means that when he recovers, he has nothing. Does a person ever really intend that? When he will recover, he'll have nothing? So lo gamro makni, he's always going to try to leave for himself the ability that if he needs it, he's going to get it back. He's not going to leave himself with nothing. So take, we don't know the answer to these questions.
All right, question. By hekdesh, even a bari, if he just orally does it, it works, right?
Correct.
So why would this be any different? Why do you come off the special laws?
A healthy person.
Like, you don't have to do a kinyan.
Correct.
So why would this be any different?
This is an assessment of what's going on in the mind of a dying man. Do we say that a dying man, it's true that on the one hand he's anxious and on edge and we have to make sure that his words create an acquisition. On the other hand, he also is really making a conditional acquisition because no one wants to leave himself with nothing. So if he's going to recover, he's going to want it back. Maybe that's true even with Hekdesh.
But you only need to come onto this whole special order Shchiv Merah by a kinyan. You never come onto it, I guess. You know what I'm saying?
It's like, yeah, but it's all part of this assessment of the dying man. What's going on in his mind? And therefore, even though normally words are alone enough for Hekdesh, maybe here not, because when he's giving everything away and he's a dying man, he's thinking, but if I need it, I'm going to get it back.
But in this case, it seems like he's giving away, he's trying to do a mitzvah before he dies.
Could be.
It's conditional, like, and then he's saying, okay, if I get better, I'm doing a mitzvah that.
Human nature, he needs to live. He doesn't make he didn't make a condition. He said, I'm giving it all away, but maybe we know he really intends to make a condition.
It's conditional.
Right.
Even though he's not stating it.
Correct, he doesn't
say it. And if he were to state it's conditional, then it would not
certainly
be valid.
Well, then certainly if he recovers, the condition wasn't fulfilled. And
no,
then he gets it back.
But if he were to make his gift conditional upon his death, then it would not work.
For sure, he recovered. Amar Rav Sheshes. So now we're going to talk about different terms. What type of language is a language of a gift to work for a Shchiv Merah? So a dying man who says, Yitol, so-and-so should get, he should take. You know, he says, my neighbor should take all my assets. Or Yizke, he should merit in all of my assets. Or Yachzik, he should hold to all my assets. Yikne, he should acquire. Kulon Lashon Matana Hain, these are all terms that mean a gift. And a Shchiv Merah who says any of these terms, if it was on all of his assets, it has the law of the Shchiv Merah acquisition. If he dies, the gift takes effect. If he recovers, he can retract the whole thing.
If instead of neighbor, he says, I give it to you, Beit HaMikdash. Is that the same rules?
That's hektish. That's the question we just saw. That was, we said we were suffering. We don't know.
I don't know your answer. Thank you.
The Masnisa Tana and Abraisa was taught, Af Yachsein V'yeras. If he says, my neighbor's now, genealogy connected to me, or my neighbor is inheriting from me. So that also works to be a gift of a Shchiv Merah. Bira'ui liyorsha, when that neighbor is actually a son or a brother, and he's able to inherit, and we're going like Rabbi Yochanan Broka, who, as he said earlier, said that when you have a Yoresh, you can choose to increase the amount that goes to that Yoresh. Ivoilu, they had a question in the yeshiva. What about other languages? A Shchiv Merah says about a neighbor, Yehena Behen, he should enjoy them. Mahu. What does that mean? Does it mean Dinehevi Kulu Matana Kamar? He's saying it should be a gift. It's a Shchiv Merah gift. He should enjoy them all. Odilmar, maybe this Hanu Minayu Midi Kamar. He's saying he should get some benefit from it. But he's not giving the whole assets away. It's actually not a Shchiv Merah gift. What happens if a dying man says, Ye ra'ebahem. My neighbor should be seen with them. Mahu. What does that mean? Does that mean that he should own them and he should walk around being seen with them? Or maybe he should be seen a little bit with them, but he doesn't really own them. What about if he says about his neighbor, Yamod Bahem, he should stand on them? Does that mean he should stand and acquire or just stand and use? Yishayin Bahem, he should rely on them. Does it mean, again, he can acquire it, he can rely on it? Or maybe he's just leaning on it, he gets a little bit of a benefit from it. So in all these cases, Teiku, we don't know whether this is in fact a good Shchiv Merah gift. We don't know. Teiku, we don't know. As we've seen before, there are lots of different explanations for Teiku. One idea in the word Teiku is that it's an acronym, Tishbi Yitzaritz Kushios V'Abayos. Eliyahu HaNavi is going to come and answer all the questions. Another explanation that's connected to the word Tik, we're going to put it into a little pouch, weight. It's unresolved. All right, some more questions. Ibayaluhu. Till now we've been talking about a gift. Somebody else brought this up, I don't remember who. What about a sale? What happens if a dying man sells all of his assets and then he recovers? So we said if a dying man gifts away all of his assets and then he recovers, then the gift is undone. What about if he sells it all? He got money. Can he now return the money and say, okay, the sale is undone? I'm Rav Yehuda, my Rav. Rav Yehuda says the name of Rav. Good. Very good. Maybe that's what the Gemara is saying. Some review the Rav. Review the Sadim of Rav. Im Amad Choser. I'm sorry. Im Amad Eino Choser. If he recovers, he cannot renege. He can't reverse it. The Zimnin. But sometimes I'm review the Rav. Review the Sadim of Rav. Im Amad. If he recovers, Choser. He does renege. But second, it's a contradiction. Lo Pligi. It's not a contradiction. Had Yistam Luzuzi Beinahi. One is where the coins are here. So where the coins are here. So then he's selling with the intent of being able to reverse it if it doesn't work out. That's why he kept the coins around. So then he can reverse it. Hadaprinu b'chovo. But if he sold and he already spent all the coins on some loan that he owed, so now that's certainly a full sale, and even though he recovers, he cannot reverse it. All right, another question. Ibayalu, they had a question in the yeshiva. Shchiv Merah Shehoda Mahu. What happens if a dying man doesn't use the terminology of a gift, doesn't use the terminology of inheritance? He used the terminology of concession. He admitted. He said, I admit that really you owe, that the money belongs to you. Now we know that generally, Hodas Baldin, if somebody admits to his detriment, Kamea Eidim Dami, that's as good as 100 witnesses. And there is a rabbinic kinyan called kinyan odisa. If a person admits, then the person he admitted to acquires the assets. But what is a dying man's admission? Is it a kinyan odisa? Is it a real admission? Or maybe he's just saying things so that his children don't get arrogant and think that they don't need to work. Oh, you've got so much money from dad. So dad says, no, none of the money that you think is mine is really mine. You're not inheriting it. It really belongs to so-and-so. So he's just doing it to keep them motivated to work hard. And if that's what he's doing, then, of course, it's not a kinyan. So what is the meaning of a Shchiv Merah's admission? Is it an acquisition or a dying man's admission, we say, is just to keep the children on their toes? Let them not think that they have so much money coming to them. Tashma, come and hear a proof from a story. Isser Giyura. Isser the convert. So the Rashbam explains, Isser, who Isser Giyura Shabal Rachel Bas Mar Shmuel. This is Isser who had marital relations with Rachel, the daughter of the great and holy Amora Shmuel. Kodem Shenizgaya, when he was a non-Jew. When he was a non-Jew, he had the relations with the Jewish woman. Vinis Abra Hemenu Bigayus, and she became pregnant when he wasn't Jewish, with Rav Mari. And that's why Rav Mari is always called Rav Mari Bar Rachel. Rav Mari, the son of Rachel, because his father, because a person becomes a father at the moment of conception, the father wasn't Jewish. Ubitokach, but eventually Nizgayer, Isser did convert. V'yachakach nolad Rav Mari. Then Rav Mari was born. So Havaleh, Rav Mari was a person that horasa shelo b'kedusha. He was conceived with a father who wasn't Jewish. V'leidasa b'kedusha. He was born already. The man was Jewish.
It doesn't make a difference. Yeah, Jewish. Because they're still Jewish.
Good.
Right?
That's right. He's Jewish, but he may not be related to his father.
Okay, that possibility. Yes.
Correct. Now, Rachel was mibno Shmuel shenishbuk in Isa b'ksubis. Rachel was one of the daughters of Shmuel who were taken captive, as we have in Masechet Ksubis. So again, going back to the Gemara. Tashma story. Iser giyura. Havaluhu tracer alfe zuzi bei Rava. Iser giyura had a lot of money, had 12,000 coins, 12,000 zuz, and he had given it to the Amora Rava to watch. And now Rava's thinking, so listen, Isser is a convert. As a convert, he's not related to people, doesn't have a father, halachically, doesn't have children, halachically. He would have children if he had them after he had converted, but this child that he had conceived before he had converted. So he said, you know what, the moment Isser dies, this money becomes ownerless, hefker, so I'm going to keep it. So he said, you know what, I'm going to keep these 12,000 coins. So, Rav Mari Bray, Rav Mari the son of Isser, Horaso Shelo B'Kedusha. He had been conceived when Isser wasn't Jewish. V'Leidaso B'Kedusha Avai. He was born when Isser was already Jewish. Ubei Rav Hava. Now he at the time was sitting in the Beis Medrash. He was learning. And Isser, his biological father, was deathly ill in bed. Now, what Isser wanted to do is Isser wanted to give all the assets to his son, Rav Mari. Because if he was going to die, then the assets would be ownerless and Rava could get them. Meanwhile, Rava didn't want these assets to go over to Isser, to Rav Mari. Rava wanted the assets to stay as Isser's, so that the moment Isser will die, they'll be ownerless, and he'll be able to keep them. So again, remember, Rava actually has the assets. Isser is somewhere else, and he's dying. And Rav Mari is in the yeshiva. So Rava says to his people like this. Amar Rava, Rava said, Heichi nikninu Rav Mari lahani zuzi. How's Rav Mari going to acquire these 12,000 coins? Ibi Yerusha, if Isser is just going to die, and then Rav Mari will inherit. Lav bar Yerusha, he doesn't have the ability to inherit, because a son inherits from his father. But here, at the moment of becoming father, conception, Isser wasn't Jewish. There was no halachic relationship between father and son then. So the son doesn't have the ability to inherit from such a father. Okay, Ibi Matana. So now maybe Isser, who's deathly ill, is going to give a matna shchiv merah, the gift of a dying man. He's going to say, okay, my assets go to my son, Rav Mari. One second. As we've been learning, matna shchiv merah ki yerusha shavu rabbanan. The rabbis made the gift of a shchiv merah, it's a rabbinic enactment, and they patterned it on the laws of inheritance. That's what we said. Even though I don't may not have the ability to transfer an oral debt, but matna shchiv merah could give away an oral debt, because an oral debt gets inherited. It's viewed like an inheritance. So if it's viewed like an inheritance, since Rav Mari can't inherit, because it was his father, wasn't his father initially, so he can't get it as a matna shchiv merah.
What do you mean by not father initially? It was his father.
Only biologically, okay, not according to the halacha. The halacha is that a non-Jew is not related to a Jew.
I understand, but you know, father is the father, Rabbi. You know, I mean,
not from the perspective of law.
Does he have to honor him as a father?
See, the father is father.
According he has to honor him rabbinically.
But according to the Torah,
the Torah law, he wouldn't. But it's a rabbinic enactment that he has to honor him. Yes.
Rabbi, can't a person give a gift to anybody? Not necessarily right. Blood relation. They didn't think about you.
Apparently, Rava is arguing that since Isser doesn't have the ability to bequeath, he doesn't have the ability to give this gift, matna shchiv merah, because the matna shchiv merah, the deathbed wishes gift, is a form of inheritance.
So he's saying the whole past, all this paragraph Yishnokim was really referring to a father dealing with his sons or daughters, or just people who are related, people who have the ability to inherit. Like, it's different than we've been saying.
No, it doesn't have to be someone who has the ability. Yes. It has to. He has to be someone who can bequeath. Mm-hmm. He can't bequeath.
He can't bequeath.
He's a convert.
But he can give to another.
Theoretically, if he was a convert and then had a child, he could have bequeathed.
Then he could be bequeathed.
Yeah. But I'm saying, so it's like.
But he then, give to anybody
so, he wants. So then he could give.
He could give to anybody. Really.
But if he's not someone who can bequeath, then not.
But Robert, this is only because he's on his deathbed.
Yeah,
he was a healthy person. Yeah,
well, even on his deathbed, he can still give a gift with an acquisition, with a handkerchief. He has options so far.
But he's just saying that this version of the Shkib Marah is limited to people. That's what has our thought. Limited to people who inherit. It doesn't really make sense.
It's limited to people who can, not that only those who can inherit. Only a person who's in the parsha of inheritance, right? If he's in the category of inheritance, so then he can create an inheritance to a stranger too.
He's in the parsha of inheritance. He just happens not to have any.
No, he doesn't. He doesn't have. So he's not in the section of inheritance. He doesn't have the possibility.
But Rabbi, this Rav Mori's father was not Jewish at the time of conception with his mom.
That's right.
But then he converted.
That's right.
Okay, now he's a Jew.
Right.
So. Still, it cannot be inheritance in there because it was not true at the time of the concept.
That's right. That's wow. Right. One second. Izzy has a question. Yeah, Izzy, what's your question?
Can you explain to me the Vashil Vayabik Dusha? How could be, if the baby is not a Sabik Dusha, how can it be now a Jewish? Can I be Kadush?
Of course he is. The mother is Jewish.
I'm sorry, Rabbi. Mm-hmm. Didn't we know before that someone is dead bed can basically give all of his possessions to his neighbor?
Correct.
So couldn't in this case, what's his name? Issu the convert basically give away
no,
his possessions?
No, the person who can gift his possessions is someone who's in the laws of inheritance. And then the rabbi said he can create this new type of inheritance to a neighbor. But Issu doesn't have the concept of inheritance. He's a convert.
Well, he's a convert.
So he can't do it.
Because he's a convert.
He can't do it.
So he's not kosher la pesach.
Because he didn't have any kids after he converted.
Presumably, right? Then I don't know, but at least, I don't know, but I think for, at least Isser can't. Whether if he has kids later, he still can't, I don't know. But certainly this can't. Now, Ibn Mashicha, so then Rava continues. He says, listen, what's Rav Mari going to do? He's going to come. He's going to pull all the coins. Lesnu Gabe, he's not here. He's in the yeshiva. Iba Chalipin, if, you know, they'll try to do the handkerchief acquisition, Eimat Be'a Nikna B'Chalipin. Coins can't be transferred through a handkerchief acquisition. Iagav Karka, if Isser is going to give some land through a handkerchief to his son Rav Mari and say that by dint of acquiring the land, you also acquire coins. Lesley Ara, he doesn't have any land to give. Ibn Mai Machlashta, now if he's going to try to transfer the coins over to Rav Mari by having the one who gives the deposit, the one who's watching the deposit, and the recipient in one room and say, now instead of giving it back to me, you give it back to him. Shalachli, if he calls me to come, lo azilna, I'm not going to go. So Rava figured it out how he's going to prevent Isser from giving the assets to Rav Mari.
This isn't for the halacha, Rabbi. This is basically Rabbi taking active actions to prevent.
That's what it sounds like.
He's teaching us.
Okay. Yeah, this is like,
he should just recuse himself.
Rabbi, this guy is a ghanim, I think.
No,
I don't know.
Not
Rabbi. The handkerchief cannot give the handkerchief, but they could put the coin in it and give it to the guy.
No, he says it's in the house.
Yeah.
And he's in the yeshiva. So Gemara said, "Samaskavo Rav." So some say that this was all tongue in cheek, and that Rav was doing it to try to get a response. That doesn't sound like that from the Gemara. Maskavlo Ravika Brid Rav Ami. So Ravika, the son of Rav Ami, said to Rava, "Am I? Why are you so sure? Velodi Isur. Let Isur Giura. Let Isur just admit." The Halein Zuzid Rav Mari Ninhu, that these coins belong to Rav Mari. Vilik Ninu Beodisa, then Rav Mari will acquire it by virtue of the fact that it was admitted to him. So once that the cat was let out of the bag, adahachi, as they were still conversing, so the words came out that in the Isar who was dying had admitted that everything belongs to Rav Mari. And so now Rava was out. Ikbid Rava. Rava was upset. Amri said, Kamagamra Tanasu Inchi Umafsidali. He said that this guy, Rav Ika, the people in the yeshiva, they're teaching others, how to fight well. And as a result, I'm losing out. So what do you see, though? Again, we got into this because we're talking about different terms. We saw all sorts of different terms are terms of acquisition, whether they work for Shchiv Mara or not. So now we're saying that we ask, what about admitting? Well, we see here that if a dying man admits, it certainly works to create an acquisition. And we don't say, oh, he just admitted and he didn't mean it. He was just doing it so that his sons not feel so cocky with all the money that they have. That's not what's going on. We do believe that it does transfer ownership.
But he could, Rabbi, he could do it not as an inheritance to his son, Rav Mori. He could give it to him as a gift.
How? Oh. Technically, how was the problem? Coins. He's not around.
Rabbi wasn't allowed to ask.
Rabbi, the discussion was about when someone who is dying admits that he, or whoever admits that he owes money to somebody else.
Owes or that the other person owns them.
But Rav Mari never owned them. This belonged to Issa. So
apparently, once he admitted, that was enough to make it belong to Rav Mari.
But Rabbi, he could transfer it to his wife, which is Rav Mari's mother, and Rav Mari's mother could give it to him.
She's not around.
It could be done.
Maybe
that.
She was dead.
Oh, but if she's alive, she could do it. No, he could do it.
She would be alive, then the inheritance from her would work. Again, you have a problem. How are you going to transfer coins, technically? She has to lift them.
As I said, put them in a handkerchief and transfer.
Yeah, she has to get them into the handkerchief and pick them up. That's right. Not so simple. All right, going back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that if a dying man is giving away his assets, so if he gives everything away, then we assess that what he intended to do was that he was sure he was dying. That's why he gave everything away. Therefore, if he recovers, he gets it all back. But if he doesn't give all of it away, so then that means he doesn't think he's dying. He just wants to be sure he's leaving something for himself. So if he's leaving something for himself, if he recovers, the majority that he gave away still stands. Shear karka kolshu, if he left some land for himself, matanaso kayama. So then the gift stands even though he recovered. Kama kolshu, what's the definition of a little bit of land? So I'm Rav Yudah Marav. Rav Yudah says the name of Rav. Karka kde panasaso. Enough land that he will be able to live off of the fruits that grow in that land. It's enough for his livelihood. Rav Yirmiyah bar Abba says, "Metaltlin k'day parnasaso." If he would leave over movables, also enough for his livelihood, and he could live off of those movables, that's also enough for us to say that the deal stands. Amar Reb Zera said, "Kama mechavnin shmeitz of the savi." How wonderful are these lessons of the older sages. In other words, the lesson of Rav Yehuda and the lesson of Rav Yirmiyah. Karka time am I. What's the logic why when a dying man leaves for himself a little bit of land that we say that even when he recovers, the deal stands? The point is, dikai, because by leaving for himself a little bit of land, what he's conveying is that if he's going to recover, samachalei, he's relying on that land. Since he's relying on that land, that means that what he did give away was a full-fledged gift. Metaltli nami, the same would be true if he left for himself movables that he can get a living from. Ikai, what he's saying is, if I recover, samichli levayu, I have something to rely on, I have these movables to rely on. And therefore, what he gave away was a full-fledged gift. Maskef Rav Yosef, Rav Yosef challenged what Rav Zera said, Umay kavanta. So why are you saying that what Rav Yehuda Marav and Rav Abba are saying is so wonderful? Ma damer metaltelin. if you're going to say that movables also would make the rest the real gift, what about the Mishnah? The Mishnah spoke about karka, that if he left for himself land. And if you say, well, it's land, but it has to be enough land that he could live off of it. But the Mishnah said even less. The Mishnah said, kol shu tnan, any bit of land. So Amalei Abaye, Abaye answered to Rav Yosef, v'chol heichad etani karka. Just because the Mishnah says karka, does it mean karka dafka, that it has to be land and not movables? But now we have a Mishnah in Masechet Peah. Hakosev kol nechasav la'avdo. If a person writes a gift document saying, I'm giving everything I own to my slave, that means that he's giving the slave his own freedom, because he owns the slave too. So by giving everything he owns to the slave, he's giving the slave himself, so he's making him free. Yatza ben Chorin, the slave goes free. However, if he says, I'm giving everything I own to the slave, but shir karka kolshu, he says, except for a little bit of land, then I'm keeping for myself, then lo yatza ben Chorin, then the slave doesn't go free. Because once he says, except for a little bit of land, maybe what he meant to do is except for the slave, because avadim are called karkaos. So therefore, he didn't give the slave to himself. However, Rabbi Shimon Omer, li'olam hu ben chorin, the slave is free, ad sheyomer, until he uses terminology that sounds like it's the slave. Kol nechasai nesunin leploni avdi, everything is given to so-and-so, my slave, chutz miyechem niribo shebo, except for 1/600th of him. Amr of Dimi Bar Yosef, Amr of Elazar. Dimi Bar Yosef says, Nimr of Elazar, Asa Metaltalin, Shire Televet. Even though the Mishnah says he has to leave over a little bit of land for him not to be freeing the slave, if he left over a little bit of movables in the Shtar Matana also, he's not freeing the slave. Lo Asu Metaltalin, Shire Telksuba. Leaving over movables isn't relevant in regards to the law of ksuba. In other words, you have a mission that says that if a man gives all of his assets to his sons, and amongst it he gives his wife some land, that means that she's given up her ksuba, she's just happy to be like one of the boys. That's true if he gave her land, but if he gave her movables, she doesn't forgive the ksuba. But anyway, what we see here is that the fact that Elazar says movables are the same as land in regards to a slave, even though the Mishnah began by talking about if he left over some land, it also applies to if he left over some movables. So the Gemara rejects what Abaye said. Hasam over there, bedinu de lo lisni karka. It didn't have to mention land. Right? The point is, if he left something over, then he hasn't necessarily freed the slave. I did it on Eresha, since in the earlier Mishnah it spoke about land. That's why here it mentions land. But really it applies to movables. But over here, if the intent was movables, Rav Yosef is arguing, the Mishnah should have said movables and not only land.
Maybe he left a little piece of land to be buried in there.
Maybe he's trying to leave the slave to himself, and maybe he's not trying to feed the slave. Good. Amen.